Take your copies of God's Word. Turn with me to John 1. You're going to turn to about three passages of Scripture today. So go with me to John 1. And hopefully you'll have some acquaintance with Peter. Now, Peter deserves, you know, like 15 talks. I'm not going to do 15 talks on Peter, but it's hard to get it in 15 minutes, too. So, but go ahead with me to John chapter 1. And as you're turning there, do you think you could do something about the music? I kind of feel like I'm going to start dancing with one of these guys here in a minute. I don't want to do that. Mercy. John chapter 1. So, in your Bibles, we're studying the apostles, trying to establish the biblical lessons from it, getting some models for life, for manhood, by looking at them, not only what is a Christian, but what is a Christian man, looking at these guys that the Lord invested his time. In the first 14 months of his ministry, he's evangelizing them, and they're kind of joining him. Then the last 14 to 16 months of his ministry, he's teaching them and discipling them. He called them to salvation the first half of his ministry and started to work on them. And then he called them to their vocation and made them apostles the last half. They're listed in your Bible four times. They're listed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and they're listed in Acts. Pretty much the list is the same. Not only, obviously, in the individuals, but also the order that's given. And as you go kind of look through the list if you want to on your own, the only real oddity, of course, is in the list in Acts, Judas Iscariot is not listed. So you don't have 12, you got 11. And Judas isn't listed because A, he's betrayed the Lord, B, he's dead. So when they list those that are there in the upper room, he's not going to be there because of his abdication, of his commitment, and because he had killed himself. But when you read the list, who always is at the top of the list? Peter. Peter's at the top of the list. People tell me, well, Peter, John MacArthur in his book says that Peter has a foot-shaped mouth. And I actually would push back on that. I actually think Peter has a heart-shaped mouth. In other words, whatever is in his heart is going to come out of his mouth. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. There wasn't a big governor or filter or break. It's there, it comes out. And sometimes it's great. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, when he confesses Christ as the Son of God and the Savior. Other times, Simon, Simon. Then here comes the rebuke. So I want to give you something that turned, what does Jesus do that turns Peter into a preacher and a leader? And he's not just listed, he is the first of the apostles. And how does he get there? And what does Jesus do to get him there? So he's got three names, right? What are the names of Peter? Simon? Peter Cephas, okay? All right, so Simon, that's his given name. Then you've got but Jesus then gives him a nickname. And the nickname is Peter. It means stone or piece of stone. So it's either stone or a stone extract or a rock chip or something like that, but it means stone. He then gets another name that's clearly used a lot. And if I had the money to do a movie on Peter, and the ability to do it, I know what I would call the movie. Rocky. I'd call it Rocky. Petros, stone, or cut from stone. Cephas is kind of another word for Petros, but it actually means rock. That's what it means. It means rock. It's even more obviously rock than Petros is. And so those are his three names. The disciples, Jesus never refers to him that way, but the disciples refer to him as Cephas quite a bit. And because they kind of saw him as the rock, and maybe that they were referring to his head, so I don't know what they were doing, but that's how they referred to him. But I want you to stop and do something, think just for a minute. You get your name, that's your given name, and then people start to give you a name. They give you a nickname, and that's kind of the name that, quote, sticks. And parents many times will give nicknames. I kind of, some of my friends and guys on the staff, I kind of come up with nicknames as well. And there's two things you do with a nickname. What's kind of the functional purpose of a nickname? Huh? Right, just shorten up a name. Okay, yeah, like, you know, you got... you know, Margaret, you call her Peg or something like that, yeah? Description. What kind of description?
Character trait.
Character trait? Yeah. Uh-huh. Some kind of a trait that captures them and that you relate to them. What's another use of a nickname? Okay. Endearment. Okay. Exaltation or humiliation. So, MacArthur talks about, and I was aware of this because of my involvement in baseball. There was a great pitcher back in it was the 70s, if I remember correctly. And he was tall. He played for the Dodgers. And he could bring it. And he had a manager that really believed in his talents. His name was Tommy Lasorda. And Lasorda really believed in this guy. But this guy, number one, Lasorda wasn't sure about him because he was a very outspoken Christian. And number two, he had a kind of a laid-back demeanor. And he said, I don't know whether he's got the tenacity to be a starting pitcher. I don't know that he's got the tenacity to take advantage of these skills and abilities that he's got. So you know what Tommy Lasorda did? Gave him a nickname. Killer? Almost. Called him Bulldog. Does anyone know who that guy is? Oral Hershiser. Exactly right. Oral Hershiser. Of course, if you got a name Oral, you need a nickname for crying out loud. So Oral Hershiser. But he didn't give him the nickname that captured what everybody thought about him. He gave him the nickname of what he wanted him to be. That's what Jesus has done. Notice how you can take things in life to encourage, elevate. Sometimes it's educational. Sometimes it's inspirational. In this case, it becomes aspirational. The rock. That's what you're going to be. That's not what you are now, but that's what you're going to be. You're going to be the rock. And so he becomes Rocky. Now, as far as Simon goes, there are seven Simons in your Bible. Let's cover this just for a minute so you don't get mixed up and you read Simon and you think you're talking about Peter and you're not. There are seven Simons. Can anybody name the seven Simons for me? Simon Magus? Who is he? All right, the magician. Simon Magus, the magician. Simon, the magician. Hello? Simon Peter? Take the easy, low-hanging fruit there. Atta boy, Steve. Low-hanging fruit. Simon Peter. Okay. So now we got eight, since you're going to include Simon Peter. Simon the leper? He got saved, gave a meal for Jesus. Huh? Simon of Cyrene, the man who carried the cross for Jesus. Huh? Simon the Zealot, another apostle over here. No, you had Simon the Zealot. Okay. Got two more. Two more. You got Simon the Pharisee that gave Jesus a dinner party. He's not Simon the leper. This is another Simon. Simon the Pharisee who gave Jesus a party. You got one that... You just got one more to go. Oh, my goodness. Now we got... Attaboy, Doc. You're right. Simon the Tanner. Yeah, that's right. Simon the Tanner. Okay, now that's another one. Still got one more. This will be an interesting one for you. The father of Judas Iscariot was Simon. The father of Judas Iscariot. His name was Simon. So, you got Simon, you got him called Peter, you got him called Cephas, and then when you read your Bible, and you want to know about his post-ascension ministry, Peter is the focus in his ministry under his leadership of the church in Jerusalem from Acts 1 through Acts 8. Peter is highlighted, Acts 1 through 8. Then Peter is joined on the stage of redemptive expansion of the church to Judea and Samaria on the stage with Paul. So 8 through 12 of Acts, or 8 through 12 of Acts is focused upon both Paul and Peter and how their ministries moved and how they intersected as the church in Jerusalem expands to Judea and Samaria. Then the emphasis moves to Paul from chapter 13 through chapter 28. So that's where you've got, but Peter, you don't lose track of Peter because Peter develops a missionary. Peter picks up a teammate for his missionary enterprise in what he did in various places. Who joined Peter's team? Huh? Not Barnabas, at least. We don't know. I don't have the information to say that, but you're close. Andrew? Well, it could have been Andrew, but we don't know. His brother could have very well been with him. In fact, extra-biblical historians do say that. Barnabas? Not Barnabas, but you're close. Y'all are saying what they're saying. I got to find some way to get you. I got taste great and less filling over here. Okay, I got to get y'all together. Huh? Ananias? I don't know. Let me go. Huh?
John Mark.
Exactly. John Mark. Remember, John Mark flunked out on the first missionary journey. Then Paul said, "Yeah, we'll help him later, but I can't take him with me on another missionary journey." Barnabas said, "I'll take him with me." They split. They go in different directions. And as they go in different directions, John Mark goes with Barnabas. We don't ever hear any more about Barnabas, but we do hear from John Mark. He ends up on Peter's team, and he's Peter's secretary for 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and he takes the dictation of Peter to give you one of your Gospels, but it doesn't have Peter's name. It has his name, the Gospel of Mark. Okay? So that was under the direction of Peter as well. Let me give you a little bit more information. So Peter becomes the leader, the spokesman. I mean, when you think of Peter, what do you think about? Y'all give me some names. Give me some characteristics. Give me some markers of how you see Peter.
Outspoken.
You know, what is it? Ready, aim, fire. And Peter, Yeah, Peter was ready, fire, aim. I think Peter was fire, ready, aim. Sometimes, okay? Anybody else? What else about him? Huh? Action. Was he? I mean, but isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting, Chris? He, fearless, in the garden, whips out the sword, cuts off the ear of Malchus. He wasn't that good a swordsman. He's trying to split his head wide open. He just missed. And so he cut his ear off. And, I mean, in one hand, you see him fearless, but in about a 3 hours, 4 hours, you ain't going to be able to find him anywhere. He's going to run, just like the rest of them. He's going to disappear. All right? So it's really interesting how he's got this courageous in a moment, and then in other moments, he's dominated by fear. He gets to Antioch, and the Judaizers come up, and they intimidate him. And he quits preaching the gospel of grace and starts preaching the gospel of works. And Paul has to stand him straight up and said, you're preaching another gospel. It's not right. And he faced him publicly. And Peter repented. So he is on the one hand intimidating, on the other hand and courageous. On the other hand, he's intimidated and fearful sometimes. Yeah, I'm sorry. Bipolar? Yeah, I'm not going to put that on him. So, anything else about Rocky?
It's the
sir?
Bishop of Jerusalem, he's a
he was a leader in Jerusalem. It would be more apt to refer to the Bishop of Jerusalem as James. Because James will lead the church until they throw him off the pinnacle of the temple. In approximately about 48 A.D., he will have led the church there. Remember, James was the moderator of the General Assembly. He was kind of the head pastor there in Jerusalem. But there's no doubt Peter was the leader. But Peter didn't stay in Jerusalem. Remember, he went down to take the gospel down to an interesting place where a guy named Jonah had been. Anybody know where that is? No, not Nineveh. Before Nineveh. Tarsus? Yeah, no, not there. Joppa. Went down to Joppa. And there he led Simon the Tanner to saving faith. Then he went up to Caesarea by the sea, led a centurion to saving faith. Then he went to Samaria to check out the work of the gospel and came back and said, hey, they got the real deal. I mean, the Lord's doing something there. So he becomes a missionary out of the church at Jerusalem throughout Acts chapter 1 through 8, and then on into chapters 9 through 12. Anything else about Simon? All right, brash, outspoken, huh? And was he quick to learn? Paul, stop and think. Paul stood him down. What does he do? He repents. Jesus, over 14 months, I'm going to show you something what Jesus does with him, and he ends up repenting. So he may not be quick to learn, but he does learn. He is a learner. He's got a lot to learn. Yeah? Somebody else had... I'm sorry. Huh? All right, followed Christ. Then he what? Then he sank. Sounds familiar to me. Was he married? Huh? He is married. We know he's married because what became Jesus' hometown in ministry? Capernaum. Capernaum became the hometown of Jesus. And they had a headquarters. There's a house there. Whose house was it? Peter's mother-in-law. It became known as the house. And that was the place. I've been there. It's very interesting. You can see the four corners of the four walls of her house that was built in a compound. And over the four walls is a six, you've been there with me, haven't you? Over the four walls is a eight-sided walls, an octagon. That was a Crusader church. That was a Byzantine church that was built on top of the four walls of the foundation. Today, there's a church built in the air over top with a glass floor. You can look down and see Peter's mother-in-law's house, the Byzantine house, the church, a Crusader church, and now the church in the 21st century over top of it, right there in Capernaum. That became a place. By the way, one other thing, when you read the list of the apostles, I've got to make sure I'm leaving enough time for this. When you read the list of the apostles, they're clearly in sets of four. And you kind of got the A team, the B team, and the C team. Now, the A team is Peter, James, John, Andrew. Peter, James, it's usually in that order. Peter, James, John, Andrew. Now that A team, interestingly, is made up of four men who all share the same vocation. They're fishermen. And are two sets of brothers. And one of the set of brothers are cousins to Jesus. Then you've got the other four, the other two teams. The next one starts off with Philip. And so you've got these four teams that are put together. You've got, as I said last week, you've got this unbelievable span of vocation, character, personalities, all of that. But right here, you see that here is the team, and the A team, Peter, is clearly the leader. And it's really interesting that of those four men in that first part of the team, of those four men, Peter and John, likely the oldest and youngest of the apostles, became close. And in the ministry at Jerusalem, you were always looking at what? Peter and John came. Peter and John came. Peter and John preached. And they had that relationship. And you're going to see see something very important in just a moment in the Gospel of John about that. Now, so let's see their conversion, first of all, in John chapter 1. Look with me, if you would, over to verse 29. The next day, John, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, as soon as he saw Jesus, he said, Behold, and this is a messianic term, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Now what he's referring back to was recorded for you in Luke 3 and Matthew 3, where John the Baptist baptized Jesus to fulfill righteousness. That means to fulfill the law. What in the law required Jesus to be baptized? He was a priest. He's prophet, priest, and king. Numbers 5 and Numbers 8 says that a priest must baptize a priest by the pouring of water that sprinkles down upon him. And it's given to us in Numbers 5 and 8. That's why, and that priest has to be ordained by that ritual at 30 years of age. So Jesus at 30, John the Baptist is a priest. We know because his dad Zechariah was a priest. And so he now is baptized. And John the Baptist knows what he's talking about because John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus. And so he baptized him and he says, well, that's when I met him. And that, of course, that wasn't the first time he met him. The first time he met him was when he was in his mother's womb while Jesus was in Mary's womb. And they met, and John, the baptizer in the womb of his mother, was quickened at that moment. And so, but now when he met him in life and ministry is when Jesus is 30 years of age. And he goes and he then is going to baptize him. And he realizes as the Spirit of God comes upon him, I'm baptizing with water, but he will baptize his covenant people with the Spirit. So that's what, we don't have a baptism of the Spirit. That's an extraneous teaching from the Bible. It's baptism with the Spirit, or baptism in the Spirit, or baptism. The Holy Spirit's never a baptizer. Jesus is the baptizer, and he baptizes with his Spirit. Those that don't know him, he'll baptize with fire at the judgment. So here is Jesus, and John the Baptist, when he sees him now, after he had baptized him, Jesus has been in the wilderness. He's come back to Bethany where he had been baptized. John the Baptist is still there. And now John the Baptist performs his calling in the spirit of Elijah to point to Jesus, which he does. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now what happens? Jesus calls the disciples. Here's what happens. Next verse. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. They went from John the Baptist now to follow Jesus. And then that's a faithful ministry when you point and lead people to follow Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they see a person that's converted wants to be with Jesus. And so they says, "Where are you staying?" He says, "Come and see." And they go with. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard Jesus speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said to him, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. So here is the names that are given to him, and the affirmation of what Jesus is going to do in his life, and he is brought to faith in Christ. Why? Because Andrew brought him to Jesus, and Andrew was one of the students who had been converted. This is a wonderful student ministry going on here, but we're not through yet. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Now, you know, Peter was born where? Bethsaida. They just found Bethsaida in the last 6 years. I get to take people there to it now when we didn't see it when I first started, but now we know where it is. It's right up the... right up alongside of the Sea of Galilee, not far from Capernaum. And so now you find out the conversion about Philip, and then Philip is going to bring Nathanael. So now we got James, we got John, we got Peter, we got Andrew, we got Philip, we've got Nathanael. And so now we've got 6 of the 12 that are being called together here in John. But let's stay with Peter. And I'm going to ask you now to go in your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 21. John 21. So now this is, me find this. I'm sorry, my pages. I can't get my fingers to work here. All right, John chapter 21, slip down to verse 18 and 19. So John and Peter get converted pretty much the same time. They get called to be an apostle, Luke 6, pretty much the same time. And then we're told in John chapter 21, an interesting account takes place in verse down to verse 18. Would you go down to verse 18? Truly, truly, this is Jesus talking to, I'm telling you what, let me read this whole thing. Verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus, I want you to tuck this away in your mind. We got about 5 minutes here. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he's pointing to the other disciples. And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Interestingly, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, now follow me. So this is the post-resurrection, pre-ascension ministry of Jesus to Peter. So here, can I just share with y'all a couple of thoughts here in closing? How does Peter become a shepherd leader and preacher? How does he get there from where he was as a rough fisherman, successful fisherman? How does he get there? Well, just a couple of thoughts. Jesus disciples him. He first of all evangelizes him, and then he disciples him. And then he gives him his spiritual gift and his calling. We're going to be studying spiritual gifts this whole next couple of months. And so he gives him his gift, and he calls him to his ministerial vocation in the body of Christ as an apostle, and therefore a shepherd and teacher within the Lord's church. But how does he prepare him to get there? Well, he gives him nicknames to elevate him aspirationally. He instructs him. He teaches him. He disciples him. He stays with him. He gives him, he's got a relation. Discipleship is relational. Discipleship is informational. But he's also very intentional. He'll say to Jesus, he'll say to Peter, Jesus will say to Peter, from the shore, children, have you caught anything? They've been fishing all night. Have you caught anything? And Peter will answer, no, Lord. We've been fishing all, we haven't caught anything. Put your nets on the other side. Now, I'm going to tell you what Peter did then. This is a little speculation. I'm going to tell you what Peter did. Now, you know what he said. Yes, Lord, yes, Master. We've been fishing all night. But at your command, we will let the nets down on the other side. Let me explain to you what he just said. Yes, Lord, Master. We, professional fishermen, have been fishing all night. We, professional fishermen, have caught nothing. But at your command, son of a carpenter, we will put the nets on the other side. Well, then Jesus did a little cheating, but it was sanctified. He sent all the fish in Galilee into those nets. And it starts to sink the boat. They got to call out more boats. What does Peter do? Let me tell you what he doesn't do. Praise the Lord. Hey, you got to believe it and receive it. I mean, you got to name it, you got to claim it. He hits the ground. He hits the ground in fear. And he says, "Oh Lord, depart from me. I am an unclean man, and I have unclean lips. Depart from me." And Jesus is breaking him. They'll go up to Caesarea by this, they'll go up to Caesarea Philippi, next to Mount Hermon. They'll be walking around. Jesus turned to his disciples. "Who do people say that I am?" "Well, Jesus, some say you're Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. I mean, you're a great preacher. Everybody's downloading your sermons. Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered up. Remember, old heart and mouth? "You're the Christ. You're the Son of God." Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you're Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and on the third day I'm going to be crucified, and on the third day I'll be raised again. On the third, I'll be crucified by the chief priests and the scribes, and on the third day I'll be raised again." And what does Peter say? "God forbid." And he brings a malediction upon what Jesus has said. What does Jesus say? "Get behind me, Satan. You've set your mind on man's interest, not God's interest." And he breaks him. And they're out in the road, they're on the Sea of Galilee again. The waves are going up, and professional fishermen are there, and they're scared to death. They're going to die. And Jesus is asleep. And Jesus appears all of a sudden. And they look out there, and there he is. And Peter looks and says, "Is that you, Jesus?" "It's me." He said, "Well, if that's you, command me, and I'll come out to you." He said, "Peter, come on." And Peter comes on. He gets almost there, and what does he do? Sees the wind, sees the waves, and sinks. What does Jesus do? He reaches out, picks him up, and says, "Good try. You want a mulligan? Where's your faith? Where is your faith?" And he breaks him. And then they'll be at a meal. And it's the last Passover and the first Lord's Supper. And Jesus is going to tell his disciples, "Again, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be raised on the third day. And all of you are going to flee. In fear, all of you." What does Peter say? "Not me." "Not me." Now, they may. These guys may. I mean, I don't know about them, but I'm telling you, not me. I'm with you thick and thin to the end. I'm your friend. Simon, Simon, Satan has requested permission to sift y'all. Y'all, that's a plural there. All of them. To sift y'all like wheat. But I have prayed for you. You know the only difference between Judas and Peter that day? Jesus. That's the only difference. The intercessory prayers of Jesus for Simon Peter. And when you turn, you will lead my people. And he breaks him. Before this day's out, you will deny me. Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And then you'll turn. And he breaks him. Jesus goes to the cross. He rises on the third day. And in those 40 days, we have in the Scripture 15 recorded appearances of Jesus. Most of them that are recorded on that first day. Mary Magdalene. And then the Bible tells us that when Mary Magdalene goes back to tell the apostles, when the women who see Jesus go back to tell the apostles, he tells them, "Tell Peter." And Peter gets one of the few personal appearances of Christ to see it. And then Jesus meets them at the Galilee. And while they're waiting on him, they start fishing. I've stood at this very place so many times. And Jesus sees them out there. He builds a fire, puts some fish on it, goes down to the edge. "Children, have you caught anything?" Deja vu all over again. "Have you caught anything?" "No, we've caught nothing." "Put your nets on the other side." Peter says, "It's the Lord." "Been here, done that, got the t-shirt. It's the Lord." Of course, he gets 183. I'm not sure what all this means and everything, but that's what he happened. But I love it. Don't you love the Bible? It says, Peter put on his coat and dove into water. I don't know about you. I take my coat off when I dive in the water. But he put his coat on, dove in the water. He came right up to Jesus, and he gets there, and Jesus brings him over to the charcoal fire. "Peter, do you love me more than these?" What had he already told him? "Oh, yeah, I love you. They may, not me. Peter, do you love me more than these?" He says, "Lord, you know I love you." He says, second time, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" He said, "Lord, you know I love you. I'm feeding my sheep, tend my lambs." Then he said to him the third time, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And Peter was grieved and wept. Why? Because he said to him the third time. You see, the last time Peter was standing by a charcoal fire, he had done what Jesus said he would do. He denied him three times. A servant girl, "You belong to him?" "No, I don't belong to him." "Roman soldier?" "No, I don't belong to him." "Oh, bystander, you sound like a Galilean." "No, I don't." And then he starts cursing. And beside that charcoal fire outside of Caiaphas' house, he denies him three times. So notice Jesus is letting his repentance match his sin. Three denials, gives him three confessions. And when he got to the third one, he knows what he's doing. And he began to pray. He began to weep. And then he tells him, "When you die, you wouldn't choose what you're going to die. But you follow me." Now, Peter, the object of breaking is not to be broken. The object of breaking is to make your wholeness in Christ. Now, Peter is ready to be the rock. The next time he opens his mouth, he'll lead the disciples to bring the apostle to replace Judas. Then the next time he opens his mouth, 3,000 will come to Christ. Now he's ready. That's what we do. Lord, break us, not to go around broken. Break us to make us yours. And you are ours. May Peter be that model for you and me. God, thank you for the time we're together. Thank you for the food we have. Would you bless our fellowship, our discussion, our prayers together? Thank you for these men. Bless this time gloriously and wonderfully. And thank you for giving us models and mentors like Peter. And thank you, Jesus, for showing us how to be a discipler. In Jesus' name, amen.